All right, if you're ready for the word, get your hands together if you would. God bless you. And turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Are you glad to be in the house of God today?
Yes.
Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yes.
You're close to that cardinal level. We'll get you there. Amen. We're doing a series on the armor of God. And the only reason God would ask us or tell us to put on armor would be that we're going to have battles. In the Christian walk or the Christian life, or when we become Christians and accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, it, just because we love God and we're sincere and we're trying to do what God wants us to do doesn't mean everybody's going to like us. Even if you were perfect, not everybody's going to like you. Even if you did everything perfectly, not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to help you. Some people are going to try to discourage you. And then when you deal with all the crazy stuff that happens with the crazy people in the world, come on, somebody. We also then have a side of the enemy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So the devil's going to try to take you out. He's going to try to hold you back. He's going to try to discourage you and to remove you from what God has for you. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. God has a better plan for you than even you have for yourself. And the good thing is, just because the devil has a plan to take you out, just because the devil has a plan to mess with you, doesn't mean, just because he wants to do it, doesn't mean he has a right to do it. Doesn't mean he can do it. Did you hear me? It doesn't, let me say that again, just because the devil, he might have had a plan developed, tried, perfected for 2,000 years, waiting for you to show up, to keep you out of your destiny. But just because he has a plan and has prepared a plan to take you out doesn't mean that that plan has to happen, because in the true essence, are you listening to me? The devil's not in control. You are in control. Did you hear me? A lot of us say, well, God's in control. No, God placed you in control. God placed you to be the driver in the driver's seat in the car of your life. You are not to be passive. You are not to sit there and say, whatever happens. No, when you just open the door, that's like leaving your kids in the house and unlock the door and say, if someone comes in, I guess it'll happen. No, no. You know how to lock the door. We have enough wisdom to protect ourselves from someone who has the wrong intentions. And when the devil tries to show up, it might be through a person. It might be through an opportunity. It might be through a trouble or fight. Just because the devil has plans to hurt you doesn't mean he has a right to hurt you. You are in position of authority. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You have the ability to bind and loose. You have the right to say no. You have a right to say that's enough. You have the right to say not in my house. You have a right to say not going to mess with my marriage. You have a right to stand up for yourself. You are a Christian. That, and just because we walk in love doesn't mean we're passive and we're weak or spineless. When the devil tries to mess with you and your stuff, something should rise up on the inside of you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus should rise up in the strength. You have to understand something, that Jesus is not only gentle as your Savior and he loves you, but he's also a warrior. He is strong and mighty in battle. And that when you learn to activate the God on the inside, you'll rise up and say, wait a minute, devil, I have allowed you to knock my teeth out every year for the last 12 years, but enough is enough. I've allowed you to steal my health from my children for the last 3 years, but enough is enough. I've allowed you to get me to live at the level of poverty and striving just to survive for the last 30 years, but enough is enough. But you have to rise up within yourself to say enough is enough. And until you get into that position of standing up and being strong for what belongs to you out of the covenant of God's word, you will never have all that God's for, because the devil has plans to take you out, but God has plans to take you up. But you are the one that has to make the decision that I am not going to be passive, and I'm going to be the one that makes the choice, makes the decision. You got to quit riding in the vehicle of a sympathy of God. Why'd you do that for everybody and not me? I'm here to tell you that he died on the cross for every one of you. The provision, the promises of God according to the word of God are yea and amen. That means yes to you. So be it. But you have to stand strong, rise up, and say, wait a minute, I am not going to live less than what's available to me. I'm going to have all that God has for me. And if he's called me to be the head and not the tail, so be it. If he's called me to be above and never to be beneath, so be it. God never called you to be addicted. God never called you to be tormented. God never called you to be in fear. God never called you to be weak. God never called you to stumble emotionally or physically or spiritually. God's called you to be strong in the Lord and in the power. Does anybody want to rise up and say, I'm going to be, I'm going to have, I'm going to, all that my Father wants for me. Be strong in the Lord. We ought to be so confident that even David in the Old Testament would say, though 1,000 fall on my side and 10,000 in my right hand, it will not come near me. They might have an epidemic going, but it will not come near me. They might have a recession going, but it will not come near me. They might have confusion going, but it's not going to come into my house. They might be firing everybody at work, but I'm going to get a raise. And they can say what they want. It will not come near me. Come on, somebody. You got to get some fight on the inside of you to rise up. God's looking for you to rise up. He's given you the authority, you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What am I telling you? That the key factor is what you're willing to stand up for. Are you willing to stand for what's yours? Whew, that was for somebody. Hallelujah. Sometimes Christians wake up saying, I hope the devil don't find me today. He ought to be waking up saying, I hope they don't find me today. Oh, I hope the devil just leaves me. The devil's not merciful. The devil's not merciful. He has no mercy. So there's no, don't let him trick you to think that if you suffer enough, he'll just eventually take his foot off your neck and leave you alone. No, no. He'll drag you through torment and pain and suffering all the way to the end. And then if he can, try to take you to hell. He is not merciful. You got to rise up and say, enough's enough. I'm not going to allow this in my life. Did you hear me? You're too good. Your Heavenly Father loves you too much. You've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. You're too valuable to God. You got to begin to get that value in yourself so you rise up and say, wait a minute, I'm better than this. Some of you have allowed yourself to be in relationships that's diminishing you. You got to rise up and say, I'm better than this. I don't need to be taking that. You've allowed yourself to live in situations because you think this is the best that you'll ever get. No, you got to rise up and say, I'm better than this. I don't need to accept this. It might not change overnight, but it's never going to change until you challenge it. You got to rise up and say, wait a minute, I am going to challenge this. I will not sleep and rest with this thing going on. This will not. Stand strong. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We talked about it. Doesn't matter how you feel strong. It's position strength. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is stuff we have talked about over this series. I encourage you to get the messages because these are truths. Specifically, seven truths that you must embrace and hang on to. We talked out of the first message how when the enemy tries to take from you, steal, kill, and destroy, he doesn't do it by just attacking you. He does it by attacking you to the place where you quit trusting in your armor. You quit trusting in the truth of God's word. You quit trust. You let go of God's truth. And when you let go of God's truth, it opens the door for him to steal, kill, and destroy. So these are truths. This is not physical armor. This is truth. These are principles of God's word. And take the helmet of salvation. Say the helmet of salvation. Typically in the church world, when you walk in with a hat, the ball cap, people say, take that cap off. I want you to put your hat on today. I want you to put your hat on. Go in your imagination with me, if you would, to the story that a lot of us are familiar with, David and Goliath. And David, here he is, a young shepherd boy, charging a giant of a man who's a trained, successful soldier who's so victorious in all his past battles. But today I don't want to look at David, I want to look at Goliath. Can we look through the eyes of Goliath? What an interesting thought. Can you imagine that you're the guy, you're the woman, you're the person, the go-to person for a whole huge, gigantic, successful army? The strongest army of its day at that time. And so all the victory, all the success, all everything, everyone is depending on you. They come to you and say, you know what, we are so confident in your ability to fight because you win every battle. No one has been able to even come close to beating you. So we want you to go out in that field and make a challenge and challenge the army of Israel that all they need to do is they pick one person to fight you. And if they win and defeat you, we all will surrender. Can you imagine that kind of pressure on you? See, we are so confident in your ability that we're going to put what you can do against. We don't even know who they're going to pick. But we know that you can beat everyone in their army, everyone on their team. And if not, we'll all give ourselves up for slavery. They were betting everything on Goliath. So here's Goliath. He had been so successful. Sure, he'll do it. So he was out there. And if you look at, if you read the Bible, not as a fairy tale story, but it's a newspaper, and you begin to look at the drama and the details. And we find that when David was charging Goliath, that Goliath basically, you could say, was reclining. He was laying back on the grass. He's not warming up. He's not stretching. He's not sharpening his sword. He's not working everything. He's relaxing. He's chilling out on the grass in the sun, laughing. And considers and remarks to David as he would a dog. You send to me a dog? Here's a young man who's not even old enough to be in the military, no military armor on, a sling and a rock. And Goliath was so confident in his ability that he knew that this would be no challenge to him. But he did not know that there was one small area in the armor of his helmet that a little stone that seemed insignificant. I wonder what went through his mind as he's standing there watching that short little shepherd put a rock in there. He probably thought, he starts swinging. And he probably thought, what is that kid doing? What an idiot. And they released that rock and said, like, that's going to hurt. That's not even, it's getting close to me. That's kind of, it's got the right height. Oh, my arm will take care of it. Where's it going? Wow, that's kind of close to. Come on, work with me, church. Can you imagine? One little rock taking him down. I don't really believe, and the text doesn't really say specifically one way or the other. We always assume he's dead. I don't believe Goliath died at that moment. I believe it knocked him down. David learned when he fought the lion and the bear that when he's telling the king, him fighting the lion and the bear, he made a phrase of, and the lion rose up against me, and I grabbed it with my hands. A shepherd would never grab a lion with his hands unless he was caught off guard. And the only way for a lion to rise up against him is that the lion was down. And if you think about it, then what David would have done, which utilizing his proven weapon, would have taken a rock, put it in a sling, threw it at the lion, knocked the lion out. And in taking the lion, when it was out, he talked about taking the little lamb out of the lion's mouth. And then it rose up against him. So what did he do? He ended up killing it, but he learned something in battle. That if I'm going to knock him down, I have to make sure I take him out. And so that's why he utilized the sword of Goliath. Now, but imagine Goliath. Just for imagination, let's say he didn't kill him. Here he is, confident in his ability. He sees his little rock flying. Stay with me, and I'll see how it applies to each and every one of us. And this rock is flying toward him, and he's thinking, no big deal, no big deal. I got this thing covered. A little thought, I got this. Wham! Knocks him out. I can imagine the splitting headache he had at the moment, no pun intended. And all of a sudden, he's laying down, and he's probably shaking himself and said, man, I didn't see that coming. As he feels something moving, as he hears his sword coming out of the sheath, And I can only imagine him turning and saying, "Hey, what are you doing? That's my..." And David cuts his head off. The reason I say that is because the biggest battles that you will fight as a believer is not against people. It's not even against the devil. But it's in this area between your ears. And the danger zone for each and every one of us is to get like Goliath, where we are so confident in our past successes that even when the devil's trying to throw things at us, we think, no big deal. Oh, I got it covered. And yet a little thought took Goliath down because he didn't have his whole helmet covering his head. See, the helmet is covering your thought life, spiritually, the truth. The truth of this is that helmet of salvation is covering your thoughts. And a lot of people live life where they feel like there's no control. Whatever thoughts they get, they just think about. And all the danger that is, because any action can be backed up to a thought. It's getting quiet on me. Because what started as a thought, then if allowed to be dwelt upon, becomes an imagination. What becomes imagination, if thought about long enough, becomes an emotion, a stronghold. And once it becomes in the realm of emotion and a stronghold, then it begins directing your actions. And you will run into people. We'll make this so you feel a little more comfortable. You will run into people in life and you wonder, why are they doing what they're doing? What are they thinking? It makes no sense. You see people on TV, you're like, what are they thinking? You see people commit sins. What do they think? You even see in the church world, you'll see ministers who are successful, and all of a sudden everything's going great, and then you find out all this huge, major sin comes out, and you have to wonder, what were they thinking? How'd they get involved in such stuff? How did they get involved in such stuff? And folks, a lot of times in our lives, we think by our own past successes, especially if you've grown up and been in the church world long enough, oh, I got it covered. It doesn't matter what I think. I got it covered. It doesn't matter what I expose my mind and thoughts to. I got it covered. I can handle this. I'm anointed. I can handle this. I'm successful. Do you know Jimmy Swaggart is quoted as saying that in the 80s when his ministry went from being one of the top ministries on this planet to crumbling in front of the eyes of the world, that one of the things that he is quoted as saying is, while he was in his secret sin, which is never secret to God, can I get an amen to that? And while he was in his secret sin, he validated his sin that God was okay with it, because after he would commit adultery with a prostitute or whatever other things he was doing, not to go into that today, but whatever he would do, next time he would have a service or a camp meeting or outdoor meeting, it would be packed with people and the money kept on flowing in. And he took the successes of the crowds coming in and money came in was a sign of validation that God was okay with what he was doing. We a lot of times validate our thought life by where we're at. Oh, it's okay for me to watch this stuff. It's okay for me to entertain those stories and those jokes and those movies and those books. You better be careful what you watch. I'm not here, and I have never been, and I've made this very clear and plain. I am never here as a pastor to preach my convictions to you, because I believe convictions should come from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit revealing that Word to you. You live your own convictions. But that, now don't get too excited about that, because that doesn't mean you're off the hook. You need convictions. This is not, okay, live any way you want, because then you'll be suffering the consequences. Did you hear me? You need to live according to the convictions that God gives you. That doesn't mean you close down God's show and you know you need to be open for the Holy Spirit to show you, because he's there to protect you, there to guide you, there to advance you in life. But if you live my convictions, you're doing that out of your own ability, not God's ability, out of my idea, not God's idea. You need to live the convictions that God speaks to your heart about. Amen. But a lot of times, people try to live other people's convictions. I'm not trying to communicate or tell you to do that. I am telling you, though, that is a trap of the enemy to tell you that you got it covered. The little thought of, I got it covered. No big deal. Nobody goes down the path of life wanting to end up in bankruptcy, wanting their marriage in a divorce, wanting to be publicly humiliated, wanting everything to fall apart. And yet there's a human tendency to think, it'll never happen to me. This is not for one. This is for all of us. It's a natural tendency to feel that you are the exception to the rule. Oh, that happened to those people. It'll never happen to me. I can do the same thing. I can go to the same places. I can watch the same movies. I can read the same smut. Listen, what you allow in affects you. In the computer world and programming, it's called G-I-G-O, giggo. Garbage in, garbage out. Oh, no, I won't have any problems with lust. Yeah, but look at the movies you're watching. It got quiet. See, I need to apologize. I unfairly set you up by asking you who's a Cardinal fan, because at that point I can identify where your volume's at. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to do today is to open up our minds so that we keep the hat on that protects our thought life that affects everything we do. Man, but I just feel, I just love that person. I know they're married, but I'm just soul ties. You're not soulmates. Let me tell you what you are. You have a soul tie that you've allowed because of an imagination that started with a thought. And you did not judge that thought according to the word of God. And so you entertained it enough that it became an emotional imagination, a stronghold, a soul tie to you. And you will go to your grave right now thinking that that person is your soulmate. It's a lie of the devil. They're already married. Lie of the devil. And so many times we get ourselves making decisions and people on the outside say, what were you thinking? And we weren't thinking clearly because we did not know how to rightly divide our own thoughts. Kenneth Hagin used to say, just because birds are flying over your head, you can't stop that, but you can definitely stop them from making a nest in your hair. What am I saying? You can't stop every crazy thought that comes by because your mind is literally bombarded by so much information that we don't even always recognize it. But you can make a decision on what you allow yourself to think about, what you allow yourself to dwell on, what you allow yourself to entertain. Because just because you might be anointed, you might be gifted, you might be so many generations in the church world, you might be popular, you might be successful, you might be rich and own several businesses, all that aside, you are not exempt to the rule, and what you allow in will make a difference. Go in your imagination with me to Samson, who was anointed by God to be the deliverer of the people of Israel from the enemies of the Philistines. He was anointed not with just ideas for weapons, boy, wouldn't that be cool, but God gave him a cool anointing that every man would just love to have, that he had the anointing of supernatural strength that he could just do anything physically. Some gates to keep people out, he could pick them up and rip them off and run them up the hill, no big deal. Can you imagine being so strong that you could take 1,000 guys if you wanted to? But we go, yeah. He was anointed. He was called. He was gifted. He was recognized. He was appreciated. He was valued. And he sold it all. And most people think it was because they cut his hair. That's good. Because it wasn't the event of cutting his hair that cost Samson his anointing strength. It was the rhythm of compromise that he was living. Because Samson was a Nazarite. He lived by the Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow had three specific areas to deal with. Number one was that he could not touch death. Listen to me for a second. For if we just glance over the text, we'll miss out on what's happening. Because in one of the riddles, because he not only started entertaining and hanging out with the wrong crowd, he started socializing with the enemy. And don't misunderstand, I'm not saying that you can't talk to people that are not church or unsaved. I'm not saying that at all. How do we reach the people that do not know Jesus unless we go out and talk to them? All right, so don't misread that, okay? But I want you to keep the context of what's happening. So he's partying with the Philistines. And they're in this game of riddles and betting. Guess this riddle, and the loser, if you can't guess it, you have to provide for me something. If you guess it, I'll provide for you something. And one of the riddles he talks about, getting honey, something sweet coming out of the hunter. They couldn't figure it out. So finally he told them the riddle was, I was walking through this area one day, and I saw a lion that had been killed, and it was laying there. And as his carcass was starting to rot, honeybees made a nest. And I reached in there and pulled out the honey and ate it. It's so subtle, we miss it. So many times, it's so subtle, we miss it. Sometimes in life, it's so subtle because the devil doesn't work in feet, he works in inches. What did he just do? He broke one of the three conditions for his covenant with God, the condition for his anointing and gifting and calling and purpose. He touched death. And it had to cross his mind because he knew the vow. But when he touched it, he still had his strength. So it had to rationalize within his own reason and logic that, hey, I'm okay. I got this covered. God needs me so much because I'm the deliverer. And God needs me so much that he's going to overlook me just kind of breaking his laws and guidelines. It's okay. I got this covered. I'm in control. It won't work. It won't be bad for me because as he did it, even though he did it, he could shake himself and still have the anointing and strength. And how many times in life do we allow ourselves to be exposed to stuff and we walk away and we feel guilty and yet success comes in some area of ministry or life and we begin to rationalize, it must be okay. God must be okay with it because he wouldn't allow me to have such a great day today. Because the devil's a deceiver. He's not in a rush. He'll allow you slowly to go down the path before he yanks the carpet out from under you. And the whole time we blame the devil. And it was in this area of our mind between our ears. The second part of the vow was that he could not drink any wine. And yet when he was celebrating with the Philistines, he was drinking wine. And he would shake himself and everything was still good. He would disobey and shake himself, and everything is still good. He would do what he wasn't supposed to do, and he would reach out to God, and the anointing was still there. The gifting was still there. He could still sing. He could still play. He could still preach. He could still teach. He could still work. He could start businesses. He could make great decisions. Things were flowing his way. He had the momentum. It was all good. But behind the scenes, he didn't realize what was happening. And then he came to the third, and Delilah kept pressing him, what is the key to your strength? And finally he said, because he only had one part of the vow left, that if my hair is cut, it had never been cut. And he woke up and she had cut his hair. Those that he embraced closely were the first to turn against him. You better be careful who you befriend. And when he woke up and noticed his hair on the floor, I wonder what was the first thing that went through his mind. And I bet it wasn't OMG. Because if I was going to bet, I would bet it's okay. I got it covered. Because the Bible says he then began to shake himself because she's yelling, the Philistines are around us to take you. And he woke up and began to shake himself for the anointing. And there was none. This has nothing to do with getting your haircut. This has nothing to do with shaking for strength. It has everything to do. It starts with a thought. Why do people get involved? Why do they get addicted? Why are they imprisoned to that sin? Why are they imprisoned to that lust? Why are they imprisoned to that alcohol? Why are they imprisoned? It didn't start with a bondage. It started with a thought. And if you're in a situation today and you find yourself bound, I'm here to tell you, I'm here to give you good news that Jesus is still the answer. And he not only saves, he delivers. Even today, you can be free. But if I can teach this principle so that you can apply it in your life, so that you can prevent yourself from going down the same path, because human nature would tell you, it's all good, I got it covered, it won't happen to me, and it's a lie of the devil, and the devil will take you down the path, and when you think everything's good, he'll yank the rug out from under you, and you go to think, what's going on, God, where are you? And God said, you've done left where I wanted you to be. You went your own way, but it started with a thought. Why would anybody wreck their marriage for pornography? Why would anybody wreck their finances by stealing? Why would anybody wreck that which God's given them by doing something that just doesn't make sense? It didn't start that way. It started with a thought. Whatever that thought might be. What the biggest challenges of our life. Well, I feel so, I'm under oppression and depression. It started with a thought. And now it's become a stronghold. Now you're not directing the thought. The thought has grown to a place that's directing you. You can be free from it. But there's even another greater level. Let's keep ourselves from getting involved in it. And folks, this is something that each and every one of us deal with in life. Because the devil will bombard you with stuff. I mean, you can't even watch TV without having the remote close because you don't know even what the commercials are going to be like. You know what I mean? Somebody walk in, what are you watching? That's a commercial. I'm not even watching. I'm trying to get the channel off it. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll watch stuff on TV. We'll read books. I'm not here to give you my convictions. I'm just giving truth. We'll listen to music. I had a person pull up next to me in their car. And all I heard was two things. One, the bass. And I rolled down my window. I heard F-bomb, 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 F-bomb. I thought, it doesn't take any creativity to write a song with a lot of F-bombs in it. Right? But then my thought was, can you imagine? They don't realize, they have no idea what they are instilling in themselves. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Have you ever looked at people and say, I don't get it. Why? And yet they feel so strongly in their mindset. It could be in the mindset of religion. It could be in the mindset of racism. Getting quiet. It could be in any mindset, and yet they so not only believe it, they feel it. It's because it started with a thought that was not brought into captivity in alignment with God's word. Because the Bible says we can pull down strongholds and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. But how do we get this process working? Because if there's stuff in us, we need God to uproot it out of us so we don't have the wrong stuff in us. See, the helmet, the hat, the helmet of salvation. Salvation there is from the Greek word soterior, coming from the Greek, from the word saved, which is also sozo, and it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger, destruction, to make well, to heal, to restore. God wants you to understand that he not only wants to save your spirit, he wants to save your soul. That's your mind, your will, and emotions. God wants to transform that. That's what Paul was meaning when he said, work out your salvation. Take what God started in the spirit and let it begin to affect who you are. That's why Paul, who wrote majority of the New Testament, said, I got to daily put my and crucify my body daily. What is he saying? Not your physical body, but that soulish part of us that wants to sin. That soulish part that if we allow it to go any way it wants to go without any boundaries, I don't care who you are. I don't care what's your pedigree. I don't care what's your education. I don't care what's your income level. I've seen people from the gutter all the way up to the palace make some dumb decisions and crumble their life because of sin. Why? Because they allowed this junk in their life. Let me read out of Galatians 6:8. God's word translation says, if you plant in the soil of your corrupt nature, you will harvest destruction. I want you to notice something. If you plant, not just what you're planting, but where you're planting. If you plant in the corruption of the corrupt nature, in the soil of your corrupt nature, if you plant in the areas that wants to do wrong. How do I plant? We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights about faith. Words and ideas, they go somewhere. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. There's a planting. There's an investing. Call it what you want. If you sit and watch or read or listen to violence, guess what you're going to harvest? Why do I have such an anger problem? I just can't figure this out. Right? You've just spent all day watching movies about people being butchered, yeah. And you can't figure out why you got an anger problem. I don't know why. I'm just feeling this attraction to all these women. I just don't know why. Should we look at your internet history file? Hey, God, come on. Garbage in, garbage out. What you put in your eyes and your ears and your understanding, your thought process, as you dwell on it, it goes from being a thought to an imagination to an emotional stronghold, and you can't figure out why. All of a sudden, without you even logically putting effort to find it or think about it, you will be directed to it. Why am I attracted to the wrong people? Why do the ones that seem like want to be my friends are always the ones that are out there and doing this stuff? Let me tell you, it's because it started with a thought. And you dwelt on it. You thought about it. The imagination of your mind. And all of a sudden, it's produced a plant, a fruit that affects your emotions and it'll direct your life. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So what do we do, folks? Because the same thing that allows us to go into the right direction is the same thing will uproot the bad stuff. Ephesians chapter 4. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want you to listen to this in the Message translation. He says, summing it all up. I like that phrase. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. What am I telling you? What are you filling your mind with? And it starts with a small thing called a thought. See, a person doesn't start off committing adultery. They start off with a thought. Yeah. Man, she's nice. Not my wife. Man, she's nice. They don't start off stealing from a bank. They start off saying, well, I deserve that. They don't start off abuse. They start thinking, man, they make me so mad, I just want to. And the thought starts developing. And once it develops, are you listening? Yes. Once it develops to that level of emotion and stronghold, that's when the devil starts. Listen, he doesn't have to push you anymore. Now he just opens the door of an opportunity. Yes. So you just thought it was okay to look at those pictures. It's no big deal. And all of a sudden, here comes a woman with so much lust in her, and she's ready. You thought it was okay just to dwell on, you need more, so all of a sudden now you have an opportunity to steal. Where's my volume at? Come on. Go Cards. I'm working with somebody here. Because the things that you feel like, why am I stuck with this challenge? I'm telling you, back it up. And it begins with a thought that you allowed to happen. How do we do to change it? Begin to fill your mind with the good stuff and eliminate. Don't allow yourself to dwell on that other junk. Why does everybody hate me? They don't even all know you. They don't all hate you. And that imagery of rejection has got you so bound that you're afraid to talk to anybody. Fill your mind with what God is saying. And in time, boy, I wish it was overnight. I wish it was I could just put my hands on you, bam, and it'd be over. But if I just put my hands on your head and bam, it was over, do you know what you would do? Tomorrow, you would start thinking, ooh, I got an easy way out. Now I can go back. This is a process. What you sow, you shall reap. It's not overnight. And when you first start going down the wrong path, it won't be overnight. But in time, good or bad, the fruit will appear for righteousness or unrighteousness, good or bad. What is coming into your future is based on what you are allowing. Fill your mind. You are not exempt. None of us are. You are not exempt from the strategies of the devil. And your greatest battle will be in the area of your thought life. Because if I can change the way you think, I can change the way you feel, I can change the way you act, and that affects everything you do. For out of your heart, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. See, the devil's job then at that point is just to give you opportunities to do what you've entertained. But it needs to stop. By stop dwelling on it and begin to fill your mind with God's word. Do you receive anything from that tonight? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.